Awesome. Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing? Okay, so we are going to carry on with the David series. And first week, we learned about destiny. Second week, we learned about giants. Third week, we learned about friends. Fourth week, we learned about betrayal. Fifth week, we learned about revenge. Sixth week, trials. Then power. Last was last week. And today, we're learning about tragedy. Okay, so just to kick us off, I'd just like you to answer this question in your small groups. Why do you think we go through tragedies? I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Okay, awesome. Sorry to cut you short if you're still talking. So, tragedies, these are things that will always happen in life. We can't avoid them. We're going to have to just face them. So today, I'm just going to be teaching you how we're going to be able to face that when it comes into your life. So we're going to be looking at tragedy in David's life. So just a quick background. Remember last week when we were taught about, when we learned how David committed adultery and he then committed murder as well. So Nathan actually rebuked David and said, this is what the Lord says. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 11 to 12. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I'm going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this in broad daylight before all of Israel. So this is when everything started to fall apart for David and his family. So we're going to look at the tragic events that unfolded in David's life. I'm going to do a little illustration, and then I'll explain what it all means. And Grace is going to help me. Okay, so this backpack on my back represents burdens in our lives. So if you can see, you can read, quick. So basically, each pumpkin is going to represent a tragic event that happened in David's life. So the first one was Amnon, David's son, raped Tamar, which was his daughter. That was the first one. The second one was Absalom was so angry at what Amnon did, so he decided, I'm going to take revenge upon myself, and I'm going to kill my brother. And then the three that I'm going to focus on is when David was mocked and cursed as he was fleeing from the city. And then the second one I'm going to focus on is Absalom, when he rebelled and humiliated David. And the last one I'm going to focus on is Absalom was killed in battle. Awesome. Jesus. The first one we're going to look at is David was mocked and cursed. So this is as David was leaving the city, right? So a lot had already happened. Remember, his daughter was raped, his son was killed, and now his son Absalom was after him. So we see in 2 Samuel 16, verse 7 to 8, this is when David was leaving, and Shimei, who was from Saul's tribe, saw him walking, and he started cursing him, and he said, get out, you murderer, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a murderer. Yo, guys, I don't know about you, but David was already going through a lot. And then to now be mocked and cursed, he wasn't seen as a powerful man or a powerful king anymore. He was just seen as you're just another person. And he was just being pushed down further and further. So you see, as Grace was putting these pumpkins on my back, that's another burden in David's life. It kept weighing down on him. And he had to walk around with this. The second one we're going to look at is when Absalom rebelled against his father David. So remember when we read the first verse where Nathan was telling David what God had said he was going to do, that he's going to send calamity on his family. So this is what now Absalom did to David. Absalom said to Ahithophel, give us your advice. What should we do? Ahithophel answered, sleep with your father's concubines, whom he left to take care of the palace. Then all of Israel will hear that you have made yourself obnoxious to your father, and the hands of everyone with you will be more resolute. So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and he slept with his father's concubines in the sight of all of Israel. I was just like, yo, when I read this, I was just like, this is David's own flesh and blood, guys. Own flesh and blood. So after all David had gone through, now his son has decided, I'm going to take over my dad's throne. I still want more. So this is all happening. And David is like, this is your own flesh and blood, like betraying you in front of the whole of Israel. David was humiliated. Like, the Israelites never looked at David. He was no longer the powerful king, the respected king that he was anymore. David now was just like, just another random person. So you know when you go through tragedies in your life, it might actually be caused by a family member or a close friend or someone who's really close to you. This is exactly what was happening to David. This is someone really close to him. Like, it's just another burden on David's shoulders that he had to walk with. And the third one we're going to look at is when Absalom was killed in battle. So now at the end, David's battling Absalom at the end when he was wanting to take back the throne. He had said to his men that, please make sure nothing happens to my son Absalom. But then people were so upset at what they had done to David. And this is then what happened. So when David got word that Absalom was then killed in battle, this is what he did. The king was so shaken, he went up to the room over the gateway and wept. As he wept, he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son. This broke my heart, because even though after all what Absalom had done to David, he still didn't wish him harm. He still wanted him to be okay. And David had actually forgiven his son, and all he wanted was him to be okay after everything that had happened. And it's very difficult, because it's like, David had all this going through his mind, like everything is falling apart, and David could have been angry. David could have taken it upon himself and said, you know what? I'm a powerful man. I have powerful men behind me. I can kill all the men who are actually coming against me. But David didn't do that. All David wanted to do was actually just want Absalom to come back home. So now we're going to look at what we learned about tragedy in David's life. So in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30 says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So this is a beautiful verse for me, because as I was reading through this tragic event that was going on in David's life, for me, what David then did is he decided, you know what, God, I need your help. So he then took off all the burdens that he was carrying on his back and he handed them over to Jesus. So you see, this whole time I was carrying this backpack on my back, it was quite heavy, because I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I need to push through. But now that I've taken it off, so that's a representation of what David did. He then decided, I'm going to take all my burdens and give them to God. And this is a psalm that David wrote as he was fleeing from the city, from Absalom. And it says, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from the holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. So you see, although David was facing like trying times, he humbled himself and he was like, you know what, God, this is all happening. I give it all to you. So it's very important when you're going through a tragedy is to stay in prayer and just trust God. Guys, because you don't know the outcome of your situation. You can't control it. There's some tragedies that you're going to go through that you actually can't control. And so the best thing is to actually just say, you know what, God, you know what's best for me. You know what's going to happen. I have no idea how this is going to play out. And it's amazing what God can do the moment you actually surrender all your burdens. And it's not a process of saying, okay, God, I'll just give you a little bit. I'll give you, okay, I'll let go my pain, but I'll keep my anger. I'll let go like my hatred and things like that and keep some of it. When you surrender to God, it's giving everything and saying, God, you know what? You know what to do. You do it best. And the second thing that we learn is that David allowed God's will to prevail. So as David was actually leaving the city, Zadok, who was one of the men who was walking with David, he had brought the ark along with him to give to David to go with him. But instead, David then said to Zadok, take the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the Lord's eyes, he will bring me back and let me see it and his dwelling place again. But if he says, I am not pleased with you, then I am ready. Let him do to me whatever seems good to him. Yo, guys, this is ultimate surrender. This is saying, I'm done. I am not going to control my situation. I'm not going to try kill people, or I'm not going to try revenge. I'm not going to try go and attack and get back my throne. This is saying, you know what? Because David at this point, he humbled himself and he knew that I did wrong. Like, I sinned against God. I committed murder. I committed adultery. And this is just me facing my consequences. So this is him accepting that, you know what, I'm going to allow God to do what he does best in my life at this point. Okay, and the third thing that we learned about David is David was surrounded by people who cared. So these are the three men that actually walked with David and supported him. Ittai was one of the men who actually walked with him as he was leaving the city. Zadok was one of the men who actually took back the ark to David so that he can leave with it. But instead, David asked him to go back to the city so that he could actually spy on his behalf and send word back to David. And Hushai was another man who went back to the city to spy for David. And in 1 Corinthians verse 15, 33, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So when you're going through tragedies, it's very important to have a very good support system. Like, it's not, like when you're going through like really hard times, you're going to have a lot of thoughts going through your head. For me personally, when I'm going through a tragedy, it's like I start thinking suicidal thoughts because I don't know how I'm going to get out of my situation. I'm just like, I might as well just die because I don't know. I don't see the outcome. I don't see what's going to happen. Or I start thinking bad thoughts, like I'm so angry at someone. I'm like, I want to revenge so bad. I'm planning this evil, evil thing. So all these thoughts are going through your head. So it's important to surround yourself with people who care about you and people who will feed positive words into your life, especially the Word of God, guys. I cannot stress how important the Word of God is because it's got so many encouraging words and things that will actually help you and uplift you. So try to surround yourself with friends that actually will put positive feedback into your life and say, you know what, it's okay, you can do this. They speak life into your situation. Try avoid friends who are very negative. It's like, yeah, I can't believe that person did that to you. You should revenge. Like, how is that going to help you? Like, it's just going to make the situation worse. It's going to actually make your character, because now they're sowing a seed of saying, okay, fine. Then you're thinking, ooh, actually, they're right. Maybe I should actually do that. But that's not what you need. You need someone to tell you, you know what? God is there for you. Give your burdens to God, and God will help you. I will help you pray. If you're struggling, I will find someone else to actually help you along this journey. And then the fourth thing that we learned is David was compassionate. So this is now when, like, David still forgave Absalom after all that had happened. And he was still compassionate towards his son. And we see that in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. The king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, be gentle with the young man Absalom for my sake. And all the troops heard the king giving orders concerning Absalom to each of the commanders. So basically, at this point, we can see that David had forgiven his son and that he actually made sure that he gave word to everyone that when you see my son, do not do harm. Make sure that he's okay. But then, like, so you know when you're going through a tragedy, it's like you're angry, especially if someone has caused that tragedy in your life. You're very angry. Like, it's like, I don't know how to let go. I don't know how to forgive what they've done to me. So for me, this was actually a revelation for me because it was also a picture of how our relationship with God. How when we sin and when we do bad things, God still forgives us when we go before him and repent. And God welcomes us like with open arms. So this was very beautiful for me because David had this beautiful heart. He was so compassionate. And it was just a reflection of God that saying, you know what? Yes, you've done me wrong. Yes, you've done this, you've done that. But I forgive you and I still welcome you back. And so it was a little bit difficult for me to face because it was a situation of dealing with my own unforgiveness towards people. So this ministered to me that, you know what? It's a journey. Forgiveness is a journey. So now I'm just going to share a little bit about a tragedy in my life. So for me, I've always had a very good relationship with my dad. Like from when I was a little girl, I was always like daddy's little girl and get all excited when dad came home. And then, so I was raised in a family where they believed ancestral worship or idol worship was the thing. I didn't know about Jesus. I didn't know about God. That was just all up in the air for me. So when I turned 13, that's when I actually gave my life to Christ because that's when I was actually told about Jesus. And I was like, wow, I didn't know. So then I then went to my dad and I told him, I no longer want to do this ancestral worship or idol worship thing anymore. And it's a big deal. It's a very big deal for a lot of African cultures to actually do this whole ancestral worship. So my dad was very angry. He was like, I can't believe my daughter is saying she doesn't want to do this anymore. So that actually broke my dad's heart. And then that just changed everything for my life. He disowned me as his daughter. He was like, you're no longer my daughter. He stopped paying my school fees. He stopped like doing anything for me. And he kept telling my mom that I don't know who she is. She's not my daughter. I don't know what you're feeding her. And he kept saying all these negative things to me. So the part that actually changed everything for me, like the tip of the whole tragedy that happened is when I was in lower six, I was supposed to go do some ritual at our home, like our rural home. And at this point, he knew that I had given my life to Christ. So it was very difficult for me because I had said no. So it actually turned out to be a whole fist fight, and this was all happening in public. And I was just in tears, and I remember saying to him, I was like, I'd rather die than do what you want me to do. And then I'll never forget what he said to me. He said to me, it's okay, that can be arranged when I'm done with you. I was just like, okay, like, I felt so alone, guys. I felt abandoned. I felt like nobody fought for me. Nobody stood up for me. It was just, I was there alone. And I just remember crying and saying, God, like, what did I ever do to deserve this? Like, what did I do wrong? I've given my life to you. I'm serving you. Like, what did I ever do wrong? And I felt a lot of shame and guilt because as I was doing the ritual, I was kneeling and I was sobbing. And I was just praying in tongues, and I was just like, God, I feel so ashamed of myself because I'm actually worshiping another God. Like, this is not you that I'm worshiping. I'm actually doing this ritual, and I don't want to do it. But I had to do it because it's like someone having a knife, like, or a gun to my head. If you don't do this, you're going to be in trouble. So that's how I felt because my dad was sitting right there, and there were a lot of other people around me. And I was the only one there who believed in God. And I was just like, God, if you don't take over now, like, I'm done. I actually thought that was it. I was going to die. But to my surprise, God was always there. Like, God showed up. And for me, I was just like, yo, okay, this is hard, but I'm going to carry on. God was faithful. He put people in my life that actually supported me, that actually I went for counseling, and I was actually healed. Like, it took me 3 years to forgive my dad, but it's okay. God was working on my heart, guys. Like, I hated my dad, despised him, despised, like deep anger, hate. I hated my dad. But you know what? It took 3 years for God to work on my heart. And as I was reflecting on this word about tragedy, I saw God's heart in the whole situation. And as I reflected, I decided to forgive my dad because although he caused such trauma and tragedy in my life, I forgave him. And today, my relationship with my dad is awesome. I call my dad and we talk about great things. And yes, my dad is still not saved, but you know what? I've forgiven him and we're walking towards that. So I just want to encourage you that when you go through tragedies, like whether it's caused by you or whether it's caused by a family member, it's a journey. Go do business with God. Like, it's very difficult to just handle it or deal with it on your own, because on our own, we don't have enough strength to actually handle it. So now I'd just like you to reflect on tragedy in your life. And I'd like you to answer these three questions. What tragedy have you gone through and how did you deal with it? The second question is, when we face tragedies, does it mean that God has abandoned us? And the third one, based on the verse that you're going to randomly pick from the envelopes, what does that mean to you and how can you apply it when you are faced with a tragedy? I'm going to give you 5 to 8 minutes. Awesome. Okay, guys, I'm so sorry. I have to cut you short. You can carry on discussing. I just need to quickly wrap up because of time. So just to wrap up that we're all going to face tragedies in our lives at some point. And one thing you need to remember is that God's always got your back. You might feel like God is not there. You might feel God has abandoned you, but God never abandons you, guys. He's always like standing right next to you, just waiting for you to call upon him. So just one verse, one more scripture to leave you with is Psalm 121. And it says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So this is just to remind you guys, like when you're going through a tragedy, just remember this psalm that God is forever with you. And just to remember to pray, trust, and worship God. And allow his will to prevail in your life. And surround yourself with good company, because that really does help. And lastly, forgive. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you for today. We just thank you for your mercy, your love, your kindness, Father God, and your grace. We thank you, Father God, that you're with us today, and thank you, Father God, that you're doing a good work in our lives. Father God, as we face tragedies in our lives and as we walk through this difficult journey called life, we just put our trust in you, Father God, that you're continuously walking with us and protecting us, Father God. May we have the courage, Father God, and the strength to call upon you when we are faced with hard times, Father God, knowing and trusting that you have everything under control, Father. We put our lives into your hands, Father, and I just pray for the teens, Father God, as they go through the week and just as they go through life in general, Father God, as they face hard times, I pray that you walk with them, Father God, and that you comfort them, and I pray that you put people in their lives, Father God, that will help them with their walk, Father God. We just thank you for the good work you're doing in them. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you move with these teens and just go with them as they go through their week, Father, and just remind them of the good word in your Bible, in the Bible, Father God, that speaks of your goodness, Father God, and your comfort, your peace, all the goodness that you pour out into our lives, Father God. I pray, Father God, they engage with your word to know and to constantly remember that you are our Father and you love us and you'll never abandon us. We thank you, Lord, in the mighty precious name we pray. Amen. Awesome, guys. So we have daily devotions that are sent out every day during the week. So if you are actually not on the WhatsApp group, sign up if you'd like. And they're awesome, guys. Like these daily devotions, they deal with things that are just so real and so important. So I just hope you engage with those. And next week, we are going to be learning about legacy. I hope to see you next week. Awesome. Have a good week, guys.